Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. You can call our toll-free number at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here with us this evening. And we're going to mention a couple of things here as well before we get to the phone calls and all, but let's go ahead and open our program this evening with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you so much again for the opportunity to come on the air tonight. Pray that you would bless the program this evening. Help us to be a blessing, encouragement to somebody tonight. Help us to point that one that's searching towards Christ, that they might find him and be able to put their faith in him as their personal Lord and Savior. And then help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. Use the program tonight for your glory. Help us lift up and glorify Christ. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you here tonight. And we're glad to have the opportunity to be on the air this evening, that's for sure. And just simply thankful to be able to be here. I was going to mention as well that, we had a great Bible study Friday night. We had a number of people who listened to the program who showed up, and we had a really good turnout and a really good time of fellowship, and really appreciate those that were there. You can find out more about us at our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you'll be able to listen to some of our past programs there at livewithpastoral.com. And you can also find out some more about me, about the program. And there's some comments and some other things that are added in there, some other things that you can click on. You can also click on the link to our home church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And we meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road. And we would love to have you visit with us there sometime. We're there every Friday evening at 7 o'clock. We have an informal Bible study, much like what we do on the radio. It's open to people's questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. And then, of course, on Sunday, we meet in the same location, same building, same place, the meeting room at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. We have our morning service at 11 o'clock, where I'm currently preaching through the book of 2 Timothy. I'm in chapter 1 right now, getting down toward the bottom of the chapter. And then on Sunday nights at 6 o'clock, we meet at the same place. And I'm currently preaching through the book of Proverbs on Sunday night, currently in Proverbs chapter 14. And I think we're about the middle of the chapter, getting down toward the bottom there as well. But if we can be a blessing, we'd love to have you show up there. If you're looking for a church where they preach the Bible, stick with the old King James Bible and believe it and teach it and try to live it. That's what we try to do. And you can find us, like I said, at Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road, every Friday night, 7 to 9, and every Sunday morning at 11, and every Sunday night at 6. And I want to mention as well that coming up this coming Sunday, week from today, following our morning service, we have our annual spaghetti dinner. It was supposed to be today, but we got preempted by some things that were going on at the hotel, and so it just wasn't possible to do it today. So we put that off until next week following the morning service. So be a great time to visit if you like spaghetti. All right. Well, again, just check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And we are going to get into some things here today as we get started If you have a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. You can give us a call with your questions, and we'll get you on the air here this evening. We have Paul in North Royalton calling in tonight. Paul, welcome to the program.
Yes, good evening, Pastor, and thanks for taking my call.
Well, good evening to you as well. Thank you for calling.
I wanted to say that, you know, for years I've been a Christian, but I've been through some hard times over the years where you kind of backslide, and then I find out that, you know, I'm getting away from the Lord, and I get reeled in lots of times over the years when I hear good preaching, and then I find a good Bible-believing church, and I start putting my nose back in the Bible. But my question is, and I always worried about this on myself, is can you lose your salvation as a Christian?
You know, that's a really good question, and it comes up from time to time. And I've heard people try to say, well, as long as you're in Christ, you can't. And then others say, oh, no. You can lose your salvation this way or that way. But I always prefer to go with what the Bible says. And before I answer your question, I do want to make note to whoever is trying to watch us online. Don't know what happened. Our internet just died. So we were online. This happened to us last week. We were going, and then the internet just died. So it's not YouTube censoring us. The internet service just died. And really don't know what happened to it, but I'm going to see if I can connect again and see if it'll come on. I was connected, wired in, and it just died like it did last week. Hopefully I got back on here and it's going to continue. Apologize for those that were watching. And again, Paul, apologize for interrupting our discussion there, but let's go over to the Gospel of John. And I prefer to let the Bible answer the question. And another thing too, as we look at what the Bible says, you know, I like to tell people, especially young people, God put something between our ears to do more than just keep them apart. He wants us to think. He wants us to reason. And the Bible talks about reasoning. And the Bible talks about, wisdom and knowledge and searching after it and asking God for it. And so when we come here to the Gospel of John, Jesus is speaking to the Jews here, and as he's speaking with them, he says in John chapter 10, verse number 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And then here's where it comes in to answer your question, and I think this is the best way to answer your question. This is exactly what Jesus Christ said. This is not what Pastor Al imagined or said. This is what Jesus Christ himself said. He says in verse 28, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." He continues in verse 29, "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." And when we look at this, words mean something. And when we see words in the Bible, those words are there for a reason. They're not just there accidentally. God inspired through his Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, third person of the Trinity, inspired. Holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so as God inspired the writers here, they wrote the very words that God wanted them to say. And so when they recorded the words of Jesus here, they were recording the words of Jesus as given to them by the Spirit of God. So I think this is close to direct from God as you can get, because it is direct from God. And when he said, "I give unto them eternal life," the focus there on that one word, eternal, when we look at that word eternal, what it says is that this life that is given to him is, this might sound redundant, but it's eternal. And so what's the definition of eternal, right? I mean, it's a pretty evident word, isn't it? So
yes, it is.
Here's what some people believe that Jesus actually said, even though it's not recorded that way in the scripture. They believe that Jesus Christ actually said, I give them the potential for eternal life, or potential eternal life, meaning if they stay in me, as long as they're in me, it's eternal life. But if they get out of me, I'm not sure how you do that, especially in light of the fact that he said nobody can pluck us out of his hand, and said we're also in the Father's hand. Nobody can pluck us out of the Father's hand, so I don't know how we're going to do that. But if we could get out of Christ, whatever they mean by that, then you lose your eternal life. Well, then let me ask you this, and perhaps you can answer the question pretty easily for me here, Paul. If God, who knows everything, and Jesus is God, gave you, said that he gave you eternal life, but knew that 10 years from now you would get out of Christ and lose your eternal life, was it eternal?
Yes, that's the big question, but God is true to his word. You know, I always think of the parable of the sower, where young Christians, where does that seed fall? I believe as long as you're watered properly and your seed falls into good earth, and you seek God with your heart, mind, and soul, and invite him into your heart, repent of your sins, and follow his teachings, I believe you fell in good earth and you are a Christian. But I think that parable talks about some people, they might hear the word of the Lord, but it doesn't get planted into their heart real well. And
right,
they're like a mini Christian for about 3 to 5 days, and they truly probably were never saved in the first place.
Oh, exactly, exactly. They never received eternal life. They got excited about the message. They made an emotional decision, but they never truly put their faith in Christ as their Lord and Savior. They may have made an intellectual acknowledgement even of it, but they never truly put their faith in him as their Savior, so they never received eternal life, did they?
Right.
Yeah.
And then I also read scripture
we are
sealed by the Holy Spirit
right,
until the day of redemption.
Exactly.
And I kind of believe once sealed and you're in. I've heard people say, like, when you're born into a family and if you don't get along with them and you want to deny that they're not your family, they're still your family.
Right, right.
And but at times I know the devil is out there and he's a sneaky guy, and he tests our faith and our salvation, and sometimes he likes to put doubt into us. And I know that many Christians have their possible moments where they do a little backsliding, and there's times where I'm thinking, oh boy, I'm starting to screw up a little bit in my life here, and I'm losing my salvation. I quit going to church, or I quit, you know, reading the Word. But I do appreciate the verse you shared in John, that's very solid.
Actually, I want to come back to that, because we kind of got away from the definition of eternal. And, you know, if you look at it in the Greek, it means perpetual, everlasting, eternal, forever. Well, that's nice in the Greek. What's it mean in the English? It means perpetual. It means everlasting, forever, without end.
Yeah.
So this is my point, and again, coming back to John 10 there, verse 28, Jesus said he gave us eternal life. Well, if you received eternal life today, you put your faith in Christ, and you were genuinely born again, but God knows in his omnipotence, because he, or in his omniscience, I should say, his all-knowing attribute of God. In his omniscience, omniscience, all-knowing characteristic, he knows that 10 years from now, you're going to lose your salvation. You're going to get out of Christ, and you're going to lose your salvation. Well, then your eternal life lasted 10 years. That's hardly eternal, is it?
Not at all.
So did Jesus give you eternal life, or did he give you the potential for eternal life? Or did he give you eternal life for a temporary period of time? But see, Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, not the potential, not temporary eternal life. He said, I give unto them eternal life. That's without end, right then, right there. And then he says, he follows it up with, and they shall never perish. Okay, let's go to the Greek on that. What's never perish mean? It means never perish. Same thing it means in English. It's the exact same thing. It means you'll never perish. So again, using our example, if you got saved today, and God knows that 10 years from now, you would backslide, you get out of Christ, whatever the situation is, and lose your salvation and die without Christ, you would perish. But Jesus said you would never perish, even though he knew 10 years from now, you would perish without him. So is Jesus then telling us the truth, or is Jesus misleading us?
His word is always the truth.
Exactly, exactly. And so if he gave us eternal life, he meant eternal, not the potential or not temporary eternal, which by its very definition isn't eternal. He promised that we would never perish. He didn't say the potential of never perishing, but see, these people read that in there. See, they're as bad as the Calvinists who read things in to make their system work. These people read in words to make their system work. We want to be a biblicist. We want to go with what the Bible says. Jesus plainly said we have eternal life, which by definition can never end. He promised us that. If we don't have eternal life, if we only have the potential for it, or some kind of nebulous temporary eternal life, Jesus lied, or he was ignorant, one of the two. And then it says he'll never perish. Well, that's a very emphatic statement. And God, in his omniscient nature, his all-knowing characteristic, would know whether or not we're going to perish in the future. How could he tell us we'll never perish today, knowing that 10 years from now we're going to perish? And by the way, there's a chapter in Hebrews that people love to use to talk about losing your salvation. Hebrews chapter 6, I believe it is. The only problem is what they fail to tell you is if you could if that means you can lose your salvation, and it's not what it's talking about, it also means you can never get saved again. And I hear these people who say you can lose your salvation claim they get saved again. I had a friend when I was in the Air Force, and he told me that, oh yeah, you can lose your salvation. I used to ask him, well, how many sins does it take to lose your salvation? And he said, well, I don't really know, but it's got to be substantial. And I said, but if one sin condemns you to hell, then if you lose your salvation, then wouldn't one sin cost you your salvation? And he could never answer that question. So what point is it that you lose your salvation? And God, when he gave you salvation, would know whether you're going to backslide or not. And so he would know that he didn't really give you eternal life, and that he really didn't mean that you would never perish, because he knows that you're going to. And then he says, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I heard a guy one time say that, nobody can pluck you out of God's hands, but you can. Well, hey, I'm just a man. And he said, no man can pluck them out of my hand. So how does that allow me, as opposed to somebody else, to pluck myself out of the Lord's hand? I'm just a man. He said, no man. So either Jesus lied, or he didn't know what he was talking about in this passage. And then when he said, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Well, am I more powerful than God that I can pluck myself out of the Father's hand? Absolutely not.
Right.
And God knows it. Jesus knew that.
I'll tell you what I'm thankful for. As a Christian, I believe in the Bible. Jesus says, when I leave, I'm going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And, as a Christian, when I start to get away I know God's alive, and that Holy Spirit, he has his hands full trying to flag me down and say, hey, you need to get back on the straight and narrow. And I feel the Holy Spirit working me frequently when I start to drift away from God. So that's one of the beautiful things that I enjoy about being a Christian is how, well, you got the three-in-one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But mm-hmm. the Holy Ghost, he does a great job. But then, as you know, old Satan, he's pretty slick.
Oh, absolutely. He'd deceive even the elect if he could.
He tries to reel me away. And so that's why, you know, I always wondered over the years if you could actually lose your salvation as a Christian. And but I did find verses where we're sealed until the day of redemption. I was just reading that about an hour before I called you because, you know, I'm always searching and putting a word to the test here. And but I want to thank you for sharing that verse from John 10. That's
I think, one of the strong, clear passage. But you were talking about being sealed. And before you go, let's take a look at something talking about being sealed, which is, I think, very strong as well when you look at it in Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, Paul is writing here. He says, in whom ye trust, also ye trusted, or ye also trusted. Well, who did we put our trust in? We put our trust in Christ. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, and here it is, this is one of several verses that says, or at least a couple of verses that says this, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And we were sealed.
Wow.
We did not seal ourselves. Who sealed us? God did.
The Lord did.
Exactly. And if there's any doubt, when you look at the next verse, verse 14, we were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now, earnest, that talks about a down payment, doesn't it? You know, if you if you're out and you see a car for sale along the road or something, and you really like it, and you say, I want to buy that car, well, the guy doesn't want to just take it off the market, you know, or take the for sale sign off it, because he doesn't know you're going to buy it, even though you're serious or not. But you say, look, let me put a couple hundred dollars down on this as a down payment. That's your earnest money. That shows you mean business. That shows you're going to be back for that car.
Right.
And that's what the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, that we're sealed with. He says that's the earnest of our inheritance. When God sealed us with his Spirit, he literally put something, a seal on us that says, listen, I'm coming back for this person. They belong to me until the redemption of the purchased possession. I purchased this person with the blood of Christ on the cross of Calvary. I am coming back for this person. This person is sealed and set aside for me. And one day, I'm coming for him. And that's what it says, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. And then a few chapters later, that's where Paul says in verse 30, chapter 4 and verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. And that's when he comes back for us. We're caught up. Here on the program, we frequently mention Luke chapter 21, where Jesus talks about when you see these things, meaning end times events begin, he said to look up, for your redemption draweth nigh, meaning the time that we're going to be caught up to be with the Lord. That's the day of redemption. The Lord's going to bring us into his presence, and he'll know we belong to him because we are sealed with that Holy Spirit. And
yes,
you know, I know Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9 about lest I, you know, he talked about lest by any means when I have preached unto others, I myself should be a castaway. He didn't talk about losing his salvation. He talked about losing his reward. He talks in other places about losing his reward. And a believer that backslides can lose reward. It's very possible. But we don't lose our salvation. You actually brought up a very good point earlier where you said that, you know, you're a member of your family, and even if you deny it or cause problems or whatever, you can never change that.
Right.
Well, when we were born in to God's family, God, well, actually literally adopted into God's family, let's put it that way, when we were born again, God placed us in his family. The only way that we'll get out of his family is if he was to put us out of his family, and he said he's not going to do it.
Right, through his promises in John 10 there.
Yeah.
8, I think you said it was.
Yeah, John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29. And so when you look at these things, how can you come to any other conclusion but that the Lord meant exactly what he said when he said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? Not potentially saved, but saved. And, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should have everlasting life, not potentially everlasting life, because he gave us eternal life, not potential eternal life. And for these people who believe you lose your salvation, they got to add that in there because they don't really believe what the scripture says. They add in either subconsciously, unconsciously, or purposely, they add in, and I give unto them potential eternal life, and they potentially shall never perish, and potentially neither shall any man pluck them out. They got to add to the scriptures, and we don't do that. We're not to do that. We're to let the scriptures be interpreted by the Holy Spirit of God to mean what they say. God meant what he said. He said what he meant, and we need to believe it. So, but Paul, well, I appreciate your call with this.
And I want to thank you for all the work you do on the air. And you're a real blessing, and I'm starting to tune in quite a bit, and I've always learned a lot from you. I gotta check out your website and listen to you more frequently because you are an inspiration. And I know it's important for Christians to be around Christians and to support Christians and hear the word and stay away from... we are a new creature in Christ. We need to stay away from people that just enjoy the sinful world. And I want you to know that you're a real blessing, and you've been a blessing in my life with this radio show.
Well, I appreciate that, Paul. And again, the program is you can find it at livewithpastoral.com. And you reminded me of something. What I love about our church is to watch people sit around after the service and talk and fellowship. And many people listening have been in services where the last amen is said, and if you're a visitor to the service, you look up and the dust is settling and a few errant bulletins are floating to the floor and everybody's gone. It's like, boom, like a partial rapture took place or something. But I think one of the greatest things is when God's people, after a church service, hang around and fellowship, talk about the service, talk about the message, talk about what's been happening in their life, and people share prayer requests with each other and share needs, and people pray one for another, and people help bear one another's burdens, people help encourage one another. That's one of the greatest things I think happening in churches is when people come, stick around afterwards, and I think real ministry takes place then. I really do.
I call that a spiritual shot in the arm when you're around Christians and they inspire you.
Yes, so, absolutely.
That is a blessing. And but I also know Satan, he's working on us every day, and we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And we got
absolutely. You're absolutely right. We always need to be on guard. We always need to be in the Word of God. We always need to be prayed up, because the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour.
Because I do think of the, I always say, I want to have oil in my lamp when the Lord shows up, because there was one of the stories in the Bible about a couple of
women. The wedding party, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm going to let you go, and I'm going to tune in and listen to the next half hour because I really enjoy your show. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you, Paul. Appreciate the call. Great question to get us started out with. I hear the music there. We've got a break coming up, and we've got some people on the phone. And just hold on the phone. We've got a break. After the break, we'll get back to our telephone calls, and you are listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. So stay tuned. We'll be with you until midnight tonight. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, good evening once more. Welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We'll be with you until midnight tonight. Hope you'll be able to stick with us. Our toll-free number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And reminder, you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And again, you're brought to you not only by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, where I'm the pastor, and if you go to livewithpastoral.com, you can link to our church there, but also brought to you tonight by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. Mentioned Live with Pastor Al. You heard about him there. I appreciate that. And I'm biased, I admit it. But if you try their pizza, I think it's some of the best pizza around. We had some for Bible study Friday night, and it was good to have some. Hadn't had any for a little while, and so we ordered some of the East Coast pizza for Bible study. We had the pepperoni pizzas on his half sheets, and boy, were they good. I took some home. We had some leftovers, and we heated it up yesterday to eat yesterday, late afternoon, early evening. Threw it in the oven, warmed it up. It came out just about as good as when it came out of the oven at East Coast Pizza. So that's East Coast Pizza, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School, 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights. Call for pickup at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. Mention that you heard about them on Live with Pastor Al. All right, we're going to get back to our program here again. The phone number, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we are going to John in Cleveland here tonight. John, welcome to the program this evening.
Good evening. I'm glad to hear that you're healthy and well.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. I had a lot of people praying for me.
Well, I was too.
I appreciate all the prayers.
You were talking with Paul about...
Correct.
About the scripture in John.
Yes. John chapter 10, verse 28 and 29.
I agree with you that no man can pluck you out of the Lord's hand.
Right.
But I don't think it says that you cannot pluck yourself out of his hand.
Well, let me pause and ask you a question, John. Are you a man?
I'm not another person.
Well, are you a person then? Are you a person? Because when it says no man, it means a person. Are you a person? Are you a human being?
Yes.
Well, it says, neither shall any man, meaning any human being, pluck them out of my hand. You're another human being. So you're denying the scripture there.
No, I think it's talking about another person plucking you out.
Well, let's go to the next verse then. Verse 29, my Father which gave them is greater than all. And it doesn't say another. It says, no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So again, if you're a human being, that's what it's talking about. How are you exempt from this statement, no man, no human being is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand? How does that exempt, how are you exempt from that?
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you think Adam plucked himself out of God's hand?
No, and that's not what we're talking about. And besides, that was a totally different situation. But again, my question to you is, what makes you exempt from John chapter 10, verse 29, that you as a man have the ability to pluck yourself out of the Father's hand when Jesus himself said, no man, which would include you, is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand? So what makes you exempt from the words of Christ in John chapter 10, verse 29?
Because Adam plucked himself out of God's hand.
No, he did not. And even if Adam did, it is apples to oranges, no pun intended. Adam was in a perfect holy state, and he was given the choice to exercise free will, and God gave him the command to eat from any of the fruits of the garden except for that one particular tree. That's a whole nother area, a whole nother subject, and he was given the choice to exercise free will. If he had no free will to exercise, or no choice to make, he would not have had free will. So you're diverting the attention. So for the third time, what makes you, John, as a man, as a human being, exempt from the words of Jesus Christ recorded in John chapter 10, verse 29, where he said, no man, meaning no human being, is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands? How do you, as a man, as a human being, how are you exempt and able to pluck yourself out of the Father's hand when no man is able to do that according to Jesus Christ? And don't bring up Adam again, because that's a past situation. It's different than what we're talking about.
Well, don't you think that Adam was a man?
Again, for the fourth time and the last time, if you don't answer the question, we'll have to move on. What makes you, John, as a human being, as a man, exempt from the words of Christ in John chapter 10, verse 29, where he specifically says, no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand? I don't read here, and no man except John is able to pluck out of the Father's hand. It doesn't say that. So what makes you exempt?
Well, what was the purpose of Christ having to ransom what Adam had lost?
Well, John, if you won't answer the question, we can't continue there. So, but thank you for the call tonight. We have to go with Scripture. Words mean things. The situation with Adam was completely different, and we weren't talking about people being given salvation after they've been redeemed from a fallen state. Adam was a case where he went from a holy state to a fallen state, And that was a result of a number of things. There was, of course, the temptation of the devil with Eve and seeing what Eve did and having the opportunity to have the exercise of free will. And that was talking about going from a state of holiness into a which he was created in, into a state of unholiness, which God then redeemed Adam and Eve out of with that first sacrifice. But when somebody will not answer a question, it's really kind of hard to move on. And again, as I was saying to John, this doesn't exempt John. This doesn't exempt anybody, because it's very clear, no man. I'm a man. I'm a human being. You say, well, I'm a woman. Well, you're a human being, and then we know what that means, mankind, humankind. And so we could say no human being is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. There's no exemption for you. There's no exemption for John. There's no exemption for anybody else. This is when the redeemed, somebody who has heard the gospel message, and they have responded to the gospel message, they've recognized their lost, sinful estate, and they have recognized that Jesus Christ, as God in the flesh, suffered and died on the cross of Calvary as he shed his blood to pay for their sin, that he died on that cross and was buried and rose again the third day victorious over sin and death. They've humbled themselves before Christ. They've accepted by faith that he paid for their sins with his own blood. By faith accepted the fact of the gospel message, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And when they did that, God said that he would give us certain things, which one of which was eternal life, and that we would never perish, and that we would be sealed by the Holy Spirit of God until the day of redemption. And then this promise that nobody, and that would include ourselves, can pluck us out of his hand. So again, when people will not answer a question, and I actually, usually when John is called in the past, I've given him 3 tries, but I actually was generous tonight. I gave him 4 tries, and he would not or could not, did not want to answer the question, so we were forced to have to move on. So apologize for having to do that, but we're going back to our callers that are waiting, and again, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. 888-677-9673 is our number here tonight. And I believe Nancy's been waiting the longest. Nancy, welcome to the program this evening. Hi, good evening. Welcome, Nancy. I do not hear Nancy. All right, we'll go with Terry and we'll come back to Nancy. We are having a problem there. Terry, are you with us?
Yes, how are you?
Hi, good evening. We can hear you clearly, so we'll jump back to Nancy in a few minutes, but welcome to the program tonight.
Thank you very much. I got a word for John and Paul and whoever else is listening in. Mm-hmm. I'll try not to be as fast as I did last week when I was reading, but I got something here I'd like to read to everybody.
Yes.
And if you have a pen and a piece of paper, write down these scriptures, anybody listening in. And plus, there's a couple of Hebrew words that I don't really understand too fully, but I know you do, Pastor Al. But anyway, I'll try to read this as best as I can. It says, it's the atonement of Christ. The infinite atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ is one of the most important doctrines of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
It guarantees us eternal life through the complete forgiveness of sin to whosoever appropriates its cleansing power. John. The Old Testament clearly teaches it's the blood that makes an atonement for the soul.
Right.
Leviticus 17.
When in Hebrews, without the shedding of blood,
there's no remission of sins.
Right.
Hebrews 9:22 corroborates this beyond doubt. For in truth, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. The Lord Jesus Christ became the only one blood sacrifice for sin that ensures us everlasting life. As John said upon seeing Jesus, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world.
Mm-hmm.
John 1:29. The Apostle John, writing in Revelation 13:8, declares that the Lamb of Christ, slain from the foundation of the world, is God's own eternal sacrifice that cleanses from all sins and provides redemption for the lost souls who trust in his efficiency, efficacy. The writer of the Epistle to the Hebrews goes to great lengths to show us the sacrifice of the Old Testament were types and designed to show us forth the coming sacrifice of Christ at Calvary, Hebrews 9 and 10. The Hebrew terms kaphar, covering, and the Greek term katalage, which literally means reconciliation, are used in referring to payment, an obligation or exchange. The picture then portrays Christ as bearing our sins in his blood on the tree, 1 Peter 2:24, and giving us peace with God through the blood of the cross, Colossians 1:20, which blood is an everlasting covenant that is able to make us perfect in that God through it empowers us to do his will, Hebrews 13:20-21. The scripture gives us vast testimony of to redeeming power of the Lamb's blood, Romans 3:25-9, Colossians 1:14, Hebrews 9:22, 1 Peter 1:19, 1 John 1:7, Revelations 5:9-12-11, which alone can save and cleanse, Hebrews 9:22.
The
most important thing is the atonement of Christ.
Exactly. And, you know, it's Christ that did it all, and it's Christ that's responsible for keeping us saved. He purchased us. We're his purchased possession. And as a consequence, it's his responsibility to keep us safe. And when you think of it that way, and you know, what is really sad, and I've actually heard people say this, that all of this that we've been talking about Jesus promising us eternal life, never perish, and no one can pluck us out of his hand, I've actually heard people call that a heresy from the pit of hell. What makes somebody take a clear presentation of the Word of God or a clear statement of Jesus Christ in the Word of God and call that coming from the pit of hell? I mean, that's sad when somebody would say that, because we read the scriptures, which plainly came from God, not hell. It didn't come from the pit of hell. It came from God. Holy men of old, including the apostle, or the apostle John, spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. I mean, when you're attributing the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to hell, I think you're in dangerous waters when you do that.
And the same with the Trinity, the triunity of God. You know, to deny the triunity of God is insane. That that's of the devil, like the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Oh yeah, and
is wicked. And the same with the blood, that's evil.
Yeah, there's a denial of the blood and all. You're talking about the Trinity, the Godhead, which a lot of people object to Trinity because the word Trinity does not appear in the Bible, but the word Godhead does. Let me give you a good verse in Isaiah chapter 44. I was just looking at this with somebody after church today, this morning. Isaiah 44, verse 6, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God." And when you look at how this sentence is constructed, it says, "Thus saith the Lord," and it's all capitals, which means Jehovah. So you could literally say, "Thus saith the Jehovah, the King of hosts," or of Israel, Jehovah, the King of Israel. And then there's a comma, and it says, "and his Redeemer." Well, his refers to Jehovah, the King of Israel, okay? And here's who Jehovah, the King of Israel's Redeemer, is identified as: the Lord of hosts. And Lord is all capitalized, which literally means Jehovah of hosts. So this verse literally says, "Thus saith Jehovah, the King of Israel, and Jehovah, the King of Israel's Redeemer, the Jehovah of hosts." And then he says, "I am the first and I am the last. Beside me, there is no God," so that you won't get any thoughts that he's talking about two gods here. He's one God. This is God the Father, Jehovah, the King of Israel, and God the Father's Redeemer, Jesus Christ, the Jehovah of hosts. And they're put together there and called God. And Jesus is Jehovah God, the Jehovah of hosts. There's other passages there. I would advise somebody that's dealing with either Jehovah Witnesses or Mormons, study Isaiah chapter 44 through chapter 45 at least, I think, in chapter 46, I mean. 43 through 46. There's some tremendous statements in there dealing with the Godhead and the oneness of God, the fact that there's only one God. I say oneness in the sense that there's only one God, not multiple gods, because multiple times he says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. But I wanted to go over real quick here to First John, and this is important when we bring up this idea of the Godhead. First John chapter 5 and verse 7. If you are not using a King James version of the Bible, if you're using many of the modern versions, this verse has been attacked. If this verse is not in your Bible the way that it is in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7 in the King James Bible, you are reading a corrupted Bible. It is corrupted because the devil has tried to destroy the idea that Jesus is God, tried to destroy the idea of the Godhead. And in the King James Version of the Bible, and you'll find this in the Geneva Bible and its predecessors as well, and because this is what's in the original. This is not how the modern versions read, because they've corrupted the originals. It says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." Now, many versions have just removed that section right there. They stretched out verse 6 and verse 8 and tried to cover up for the fact that they took verse 7 out. And then they'll say, for instance, in the New International Version, oh, this is not in the oldest manuscripts, or there's no Greek manuscript prior to the 16th century that has this, yet the old Syriac manuscript of 170 had it, the old Latin of 200 had it, the Vulgate of the 4th and 5th centuries had it, the Italic in the 4th and 5th centuries had it. Wycliffe referenced it and quoted it and used it in his Bible in the 14th century. Tyndale had it in the 16th century. There's writers such as Tarsian and Tertullian and Cyprian and Athanasius and Priscillian and others that used this in the first two centuries after Christ. And yet they just say, oh, it wasn't in the Greek manuscripts prior to the 16th century, as if that's reason to destroy and take out a verse that's quoted and used by the early church leaders. No, the Godhead is in the Bible. And the Bible says, in him, meaning in Christ, dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So, hey, Terry, I was just looking at the clock and I haven't got Nancy on yet, but you brought up an excellent, excellent point there. I appreciate that.
Yep, God bless.
Oh, thank you, Terry, and hopefully you'll weather the storm up there in Canada that's supposed to be heading this way. But,
yeah, it's so far so good. Yeah. I checked out the internet. It seems okay.
So you're a little, it's actually going to be worse further south. I appreciate that. But stay safe, and thanks for calling. And let me get Nancy on here tonight. Nancy, welcome to the program. Are you there with us now?
Yeah.
There we are, because we had trouble earlier.
I wasn't paying attention, and I missed.
Ah. Well, that's okay.
But anyhow, I was just going to talk a little bit about, or comment a little bit about Valentine's Day,
mm-hmm.
and how the world has a very, you know, worldly, you know, like lust, you know, like, oh, I'm in love with you, or some, you know, some guy, some man who's been married for many years, well, I don't love you anymore. But they're ignorant of the true meaning of love, you know, suffereth long, being kind, not puffed up, beareth all things, believeth all things. And one thing I like to tell people, I put it on Facebook, that Jesus is my Valentine. And then I like to quote, you know, the first great commandment, Mark 12:30, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. and with all thy strength. And this is the first commandment.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to emphasize on Facebook, and then when I'm talking to people, the spiritual, you know, the biblical view of love, which is basically, you know, what Valentine's Day is about. But I know the card companies are trying to sell a lot of cards. And
the candy companies want to sell candy.
Candy. So I was just basically going to talk about, you know, the difference, the biblical versus the worldly view of love.
And when you bring that up, and we only got a couple minutes left in the program, but when we think about it, Valentine's Day tends to accentuate romantic love. And then, of course, the little cherub Cupid is also known, I believe, as Eros, which is a reference to another form of love. In the Greek, you had Eros, which gives us the word erotic, and so it talks about more the sensual aspect of love.
Yes.
So that's what Valentine's Day really emphasizes commercially, you know, secular emphasis there. But what you're talking about is the higher forms of love that the Bible talks about. I'm going to mess it up for it's just late. Fidelity or philia. Philios, I can't say it right now, but you know what I mean. It's the word we get fidelity from. It's the word for Philadelphia and that type of love, where it's a higher degree. It's not based on romance and sensuality. It's a different type of love, a higher category. It's the type of love that we ought to have for God and we ought to have for all people. And really, apart from knowing Christ as our Savior, it really is hard sometimes to have that. But I do want to thank you, Nancy, because we got about a few seconds left in the program here. And good thing to bring that up. Sorry we didn't get you on earlier with that. But
it was my fault. I wasn't thinking.
Well, that's okay. But we got it in here at the end, and I want to thank you for calling, Nancy. We're out of time. I want to thank everybody for listening. Thank you for all of our callers tonight. Good night. God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com.